You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. That's James, my name's Ryan. We appreciate you guys being here with us live. There's even more of you who are listening afterwards. Click like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, hit that notification bell. And also, if you are listening on the audio side, leave us that five-star review. That is the best way to help us grow. Dallas Stars do get the big loss tonight by a final score of 4-1. The Winnipeg Jets proved why they are the best team in the NHL. And Dallas, honestly, James, probably played one of the worst games of their season here tonight. But before we get into the game here tonight, we want to say thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Go and use that promo code THPN the next time you are there. James, what's your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, pretty pedestrian game from the Stars. But having your top line center out will help with that. But overall, too many turnovers that led to direct scoring chances and just not being able to get in front of the net and get in Hellebuck space.
Well, you mentioned earlier that we were without our number one center. And without our number one defenseman. And then we were like, okay, well, that's a little bit of an excuse. And then in some ways, we were without our number one goalie.
Yeah, Otter has been gone for about a month now. So he's not been playing good. Hopefully he can fix it. I think I talked about that like 2 weeks ago. We're still here talking about it, which is definitely trouble. But he has a little bit more time before it's really dire and he has to just click. But hopefully over the next, I think we have like 15, 16 games left that he can get back into gear, but we'll see.
Let's see. Ardell, yeah. Let's hit Ardell's comment. I'm not panicking either. I'm just extremely upset at the outcome of today's game.
Yeah, I mean, it's because terrible to watch.
Well, I mean, I would really be upset with any game, James, but the thing is, you know, And you have to put it in perspective a little bit, which is what I was failing to do during the game. Yeah. But just when you have a chance to go up against the top team in the NHL and you put up an effort like that, and also it's a 4-point swing in one way or the other. And this, I mean, you said it tonight, this is probably adios to the first and the central division.
Yeah. You're probably kissing that spot goodbye. There's not much of a chance unless Winnipeg severely messes up, which with Hellebuck the way he's playing right now, he's not gonna do. I think he had a 940 save percentage in now six of his last eight games.
That's ridiculous. And I mean, do you think he gets? I think it's a foregone conclusion, like they were talking about in the broadcast, that he's gonna win the Vezina.
He had the Vezina now, in December.
Right. Yeah, but like now are it. I mean, do you think that he probably deserves at least some heart consideration as the MVP of the season?
I'm surprised he has as little as he does. I think he's like fourth in heart voting right now. And that's honestly, it's kind of spitting in his face, in my opinion. He has 10 more wins than the next closest goaltender.
Well, does that have anything to do with the fact that he plays in Winnipeg?
No, it's just that the Hart Trophy doesn't care for goalies. That's truly what it is. They don't care for goalies anymore. The league is offensive oriented. They want the best scorer to be the Hart Trophy winner.
Well, who was the last goalie to win the Hart?
I think it was in 2010. I was listening to it a while ago. I think it was Carey Price.
But yeah, I'm that would make some sense.
There might have been one between then and now, but I don't think so.
Yeah, and we haven't seen a goalie be as dominant as Hellebuck's been probably since Dominik Hasek. Right? I mean, you probably don't even remember.
No, I don't remember that. I think the most dominant I remember a goaltender ever. I mean, even more than Shesterkin. Shesterkin's a great goaltender, especially in playoff games. He tends to be really clutch, but Hellebuyck regular season has been ridiculous for the past 3 years now.
I do want to talk about Otter a little bit more. Looking back at his stats in the third period, because I wasn't really paying attention all that much to the third period. I was expecting the stats to be a little bit more, I don't want to say worse than I was expecting, but I was expecting them to be a little bit worse, and they weren't really.
You mean over like the past couple of games he's
played? I went all the way back to January 1st.
Yeah.
And his save percentage is not terrible, and his goals against average is not terrible, but he hasn't had like a consistent stretch where he's been extremely good throughout.
Yeah, he hasn't had back-to-back games where he's allowed two or fewer since like I think it was January 19th and January 21st.
Yeah, and the other thing I was trying to find some stats to kind of look at, but I think out of the last six wins, four of them he's allowed three goals
or more. Yeah,
or more.
Yeah,
and it's just that's not. I mean, with the way that our team was going, yeah, that's fine because we were getting a bunch of offense and we were scoring goals. But, you know, and I'm not totally blaming him here tonight.
Oh, obviously.
Because it was a complete team effort tonight.
Yeah, it was a wash from the get-go.
Winnipeg was skating through us. What's Chris's comment?
That was mine.
Interesting strategy.
Yeah,
Chris. And with his comment. So, I mean, it was that. They switched up the D pairings about halfway through the game or even before that. And then Otter just – I put this on the X feed for their podcast, and I put, you know, watching Otter right now, not consistently, but right now, it's felt like when we were watching Kari Lehtinen towards the end of his Stars tenure, when it was just like, uh-oh. And then you got that gut feeling, and then it's in the back of your neck. It feels like – all of those, the last couple of weeks, and maybe even, I don't want to say a full month, but maybe 2.5 weeks, it's felt like every single one of those.
I mean, the first two periods, the Jets didn't have like a crazy amount of chances. They probably only had like five or six, but they scored half of them. So it's kind of tough when you only give up 10 shots and there's three goals in the back here.
Well, and that's the other thing that kind of beats him tonight is his save percentage looks terrible.
It was.
I mean, and the other thing about this is you also have to remember that the Stars have played incredibly well over a long period of time, and it just sucks that right now they've had two games against two really big opponents, one in Edmonton, which I was expecting a way different outcome than that one. And I know they tried to come back in that game, but it was too little too late in my opinion. And then you look at how Edmonton continues to play after they beat the Stars.
Yeah.
And I get even frustrated even more. That's what I'm frustrated about. And then tonight it's just the expectations that the how big this could be. This could be the second round in the Central Division playoffs.
Yeah.
In our version of the playoffs. So I just wanted a better outcome tonight because of how terrible we played in the game in November. And again, we lost that one 4-1 too. And I was like, you know, we're playing so much better now. This is a completely different team than the way they were playing. And that was even with Miro in the lineup that night. And I liked our chances in this one. And maybe that's why I'm just a little bit
down.
I don't want to. It's weird. It's
depressing.
But I think part of it also is that this is at the end. We're going into spring break for me. So I think I'm a little bit tired too. So I was kind of hoping for a little bit more to be excited about, but that's just kind of where I'm at with this game. There's not much to talk about.
Yeah, it's a tough one for sure. And really, the Stars have not been able to beat a top 10 offense since Miro went out. They've beaten one team in the top 10 in goals for per game, and that was the Blue Jackets, who they also lost to. So luckily, they haven't had to play very many strong offensive teams. But when they play them, they're pretty much losing, which is kind of what's scary for the Sunday's game.
Yeah,
because that's another top 10 offense, and you're with how they're rolling right now, you're gonna have to outscore the team who's outscoring the Dolphins.
We'll get there in a second, but I'll ask you the question that Dad put out. Is Miro really that important?
Yes.
To Ottinger's
success? You don't need to finish that question. No, it's absolutely proven. The Stars their goals against per game has shot up by almost 0.5 since Miro went out of the lineup.
And it used to be 0.3 or 0.32 or something.
And every team that we've played against who has like a crazy top center who's just been nuts this year has just absolutely lit us up. I mean, Draisaitl, McDavid, and then tonight with the Jets first line too. I mean, they just trampled us.
I don't know how much of a big difference it was without Bischel in the lineup.
Yeah,
but I don't think it would have made much of a difference here tonight. But do you think maybe that might have been a little bit of a factor?
You might have seen some more hits, which is honestly what the Stars should have been doing tonight. When you can't compete skill and speed wise, you got to throw hits, and this team is not made for that. And then the game just looks stupid and boring and is ugly. So that's part of losing games like this for the Stars. But I don't think would have changed anything in the grand scheme. I mean, you may have seen a couple more breakups with the Jets cycle just from the hits, but it wouldn't have changed the outcome of this game.
So the other reason why I'm more frustrated about this game is that even though they did lose the game against Edmonton, which is what we wanted, or what that we didn't want, but they fought their way back in that game. Right? Like it was 5-1 and they came back and at least got close to it. I do enjoy the fact that Marchment got back on the score sheet tonight. I think that I'm hoping that gets him going because he's been almost invisible the last couple of weeks. But the fact that there was not much in the third period. And the thing about the third period, James, is I was noticing this too, is that the Jets were getting kind of sloppy with their puck play in their own zone. And it's just one of those games where you just have to kind of chop it up to that's hockey. That's just how it works sometimes. Because
sometimes your team just doesn't, they're just not clicking.
Yeah. And that's what it felt like tonight. It was just like, they had their chances where it looked like they were going to get something. And then the one play that they're actually able to connect on tonight, they get a goal on. It was a perfect tic-tac-toe play. Then that's what you have to do against the best teams in the NHL.
Yeah, and it looked like they were going to get some of that tic-tac-toe action on the power play. It got broken up once, and then they just skated around the offensive zone for 30 seconds with the puck. I mean, they didn't take a shot, nothing. So that's where it's a little concerning when you get to playoffs, because when you have games like that, you just have to go to the front of the net and crash the net and just get the puck there and fork and knife it towards Hellebuck.
Fork and knife, and I like that.
Yeah, but that's what you're doing. You're literally having to rip your way through to the front of the net, and it just wasn't there tonight. And when you don't have that, and you're not connecting on passes, mostly I credit to basically none of the top two lines really have played with each other. Those are basically new lines that we saw tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
But it when you don't do that, and you're not connecting on passes, you're not going to score a lot of goals.
Okay, so let's jump on that real quick. I'll let you kind of talk about that for a second. When we were talking about that on Wednesday night with all the different line combinations, it was allowing Pete DeBoer to kind of go through and kind of experiment a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And it made sense. We were talking about it. We were like, okay, maybe Robe Hintz is out. Maybe this can kind of work and stuff like that. And I wasn't sure where you stood on it on Wednesday night, to be completely honest with you, but you kind of let your feelings know during the third period, to me at least.
Yeah, I feel like the lines didn't look great on paper, in my opinion, mostly just because none of these players played with each other. You have no chemistry between any of them. It looks really weird. I mean, the most chemistry you have in the top three lines is Duchesne and Granlund playing together. Granlund wasn't on the team a month ago. So it was a weird one to me. It was frustrating to me that Pete DeBoer actually didn't break up the line tonight. He stuck with the same lines the entire night long. So,
and it makes you wonder why, because normally in the past, like when it seems like there's a game there, or that they're at least getting chances, that he's like, okay, maybe we can get something out of this, and he goes through it. And that worries me a little bit because he didn't do that.
I think his team was off, and
there, and that's what worried. Yeah, so. And that's what worried me. And then we very briefly saw his post game conference, and he was just like, there was just not enough.
Compete.
That was the word. Yes, I was about to say effort, but there was effort tonight. It just I think compete and effort are a little bit different words, but there just wasn't a lot of compete and not a lot of execution tonight. And we'll chalk this up to being a bad game and everything like that too.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
Let's talk about Brandon's comment over here real quick, James, too. Guys, 5 days off, make it out of sync. I'll be here Sunday. If it's this bad, Sunday's call me out. Days off mean rest, but sloppy hockey comes from it. I didn't even necessarily think it was all that sloppy, to be honest with you, James.
Passing was sloppy, for sure.
It was a little bit.
Between forwards specifically, it was very poor.
But, like, they had their chances, and I like who else's comments. Matthew Frank, Ryan G, what lack of effort did you see? I didn't see a lack of effort either. They outshot them and had their chances. It's just the Jets were that much better tonight. And honestly, on games like this, I'm okay with teams beating us if, as long as we're competing, which is what Pete DeBoer himself did not happen tonight.
It's a terrible game to watch from fan perspective, but like, there's not much you can really get mad at, especially with who's out of the lineup.
Okay. Speaking of getting mad, you were getting on to me for getting really mad at the PowerPoint. And I want to know everyone else's thoughts, and then I'll let James talk for a second on this. But for the power play, it really frustrated me, though, because I think it's fair to look at it either way. I've seen it from your perspective, too. But I was really frustrated in the fact that the Jets were just packing the middle, and they were just letting the Stars just pass around the outside. And I was just like, that's not going to get you anything. And we learned early on that if those perfect plays, the plays that you're looking for in a perfect power play to get an immediate goal, the backdoor chance or an open net chance or whatever, if those aren't working, then you've kind of got to make your own chances. And that means if there's nothing there, then you shoot the puck and you get it through traffic and you look for a nasty, dirty, greasy goal. And that really hacked me off. Yeah. They passed it for a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. And then when they did get the pretty pass, it didn't connect because the Jets were just there. So it was a mixture of the Jets' penalty kill was very, very good at making sure that there were no passes getting through. But then also the Stars were just not getting any kind of shots through on the power play. And they had one chance tonight. And honestly, in the playoffs, that's probably what you're going to get. You're not going to see very many power plays.
Yeah, you might get two, but yeah. I don't mind them holding it for as long as they did. I mind them not shooting it is the big thing, because they didn't shoot it. They never got a shot off. But what they had done is they had trapped the penalty kill on the ice. That they hadn't, the penalty kill hadn't got a change yet. So they were trying to just take advantage of exhausted guys on the ice. And I'm fine with trying to keep it and look for a better shot if someone is literally right in your lane. But there wasn't enough quick passing to get the Jets moving out of shot lanes for the first part. And there wasn't enough traffic in front either. So everyone, all the power play personnel were on the outside passing to each other as they were skating around in a circle on the outside. And that's just not going to work. I mean, they're already tired. They're going to sit in the middle where they were in the first place.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that was the thing that I was particularly frustrated about. I mean, the only other thing that's coming to my mind is I thought Rantanen looked pretty good tonight. There were several opportunities in the first and the second where he was forechecking and he was keeping the puck in deep.
Yeah,
I mean, the fourth line was the best line.
And they got scored on three times.
And they're the only line that got any kind of sustained offensive pressure. And then the one time they just basically crashed the net, which is what I wanted to see all the lines do, it led to a power play. So I was just a little frustrated with the game here tonight and that particular aspect. You got the stats up. What are you looking for?
I was looking at plus minus because that top line of the top line of Ben, Johnston, Rantanen did not actually get scored on. They were the only line to not get scored on. So that's something. There was some tough nights, especially like Thomas Harley, Lyubushkin had pretty terrible nights, both minus three on the night.
Which is why they got split up.
Which is why they got split up. Which is funny because normally you see they get split up because of Dumba and Smith.
That wasn't the problem.
Was not the problem at all tonight. They actually had pretty good games. But yeah, it was a tough one. Especially when the Jets top line was on the ice.
Okay, we don't have another episode before Sunday, so let's quickly get into that, and then we'll do biggest winner, biggest loser. First things first, I think we have to talk about, does Ottinger play on Sunday?
No, probably not. I think that was the plan from the get-go, to be honest, though.
Really? So you don't think, because I honestly thought that Otter is going to get both of these games because of how big they are.
I think they're just going to go back and forth with the Smith and Otter till Otter can figure it out, honestly. I mean, the Smith's playing so good
right now.
Well, yeah, but you're going to flip back and forth to give him games to figure it out. I mean, honestly, that's what I think they're going to do until he finally gets a good game where he only lets in two goals or less, and then they'll play him the next game.
Or is this just something where you throw Otter back in there and tell him to figure it out?
They might do that. Because he's going to be so important to the playoff run. It makes sense. You're not really worried about getting knocked out of a playoff spot. You could fall out of the second spot, potentially, especially with your playing the Avs on Sunday. They're the ones who's chasing you. So
getting close.
They are getting close. They're playing very well right now. That could happen. But I think with DeSmith having won his last six games, I feel like you go back to him. Honestly, because the game is that important, and Otter is just he's had chances in many very important games. I mean, he played the game against Edmonton too, so I think you throw DeSmith in there, but we'll just have to wait and see.
I mean, and that's exactly why I am glad I'm not Pete DeBoer. Yeah. Honestly, you could go, especially right now with the way Otter's playing, you could go either way right now as to why you should go with DeSmith or why you should go back to Otter. And I don't know. I really honestly don't know how that goes and how that will end up. Honestly, we're going to see a completely overhaul of everything, right? When it comes to the line combos.
I hope Hintz is back, and then that'll just lock them all back down where they were on last weekend. So I hope Hintz is back. From the sounds of it, he is going to be, but we're not 100% sure yet. I think he's still a game time decision.
Kyle Capobianco gets called up. Do you think he plays against Colorado?
As precautionary. I think he's there in case someone got hurt tonight. So,
I don't.
No one got hurt tonight. Maybe Bischel will be back, but if he's so sick that he's staying out of this one, who knows, really?
I don't even remember necessarily if he made it into.
Yeah.
I don't even think he made the trip, did he?
I'm not sure if he did or not.
I don't think he did.
We'll wait and see. But he has a whole day for travel, luckily.
That's true. If he wanted to get there, which the. I mean, it would be nice to get some reinforcements and hence and Bishop back in the lineup, but we'll have to wait and see. Okay, let's do biggest winner, biggest loser, and call it a wraps here for tonight. So, who you got?
Biggest winner is the Jets' first line. You know they've scored 42% of their team's goal this year? You know how bad that's going to be for them in the playoffs? That's going to be terrible in the playoffs. We've seen that. The Stars have been through that many times. It's going to be tough.
Well, so are you saying just wait for the playoffs? Who cares about this game?
I'd wait for the playoffs. Okay. I mean, it's going to be a completely different beast. You're likely going to see Sagan back. If we meet them in the second round, you're going to see Miro back. I mean, I feel like that's pretty locked in.
For me, the biggest winner tonight is, since I'll be biased, so I'll give it to Mason Marchment since he scored the goal. I think that's going to be important for him. And I know it's inconsequential in this game.
Yeah.
But
it's big for him.
I think in the long run, maybe that can get his confidence going a little bit. Who's your biggest loser? There's a lot you can pick from tonight.
Everyone? I'm going to go with Thomas Harley. It's not fair, but I mean, it sucked tonight. I mean, there was turnovers all over the place. It wasn't just him. They were making, the Jets were doing really good at crossing up the defense tonight. They were crossing their forwards were crossing paths a bunch, really tying up the defenders. But Harley in this stretch with Miro being out, he has to be our best player. He kind of visible tonight. Yeah. So it's not really his fault, but when you're on the ice for that many goals, it's kind of tough.
For me, I was originally going to give it to half and half, half of Jay Gottinger and half of the Stars offense. But here's my reasoning why I'm giving it to Ottinger tonight is because we gave him the benefit of the doubt, especially kind of November, December when he was playing especially well and the Stars were not giving him any kind of run support. Well, now they're giving him run support. And
besides this game,
but like, they're now the offense, since the offense has been so good as of late, it's okay for them to have a game off.
Yeah.
Now that they obviously you have to have more than one goal to win the game, but we needed Ottinger to make a save or two tonight, and he didn't make any of those.
Yeah, and it's tough too because Otto really did play really well in the beginning of the season, but he's not there, and he's letting up third period goals when the team's already behind by multiple, which is really, really what kills you any chance of coming back. I thought the Stars didn't even have a chance in the Edmonton game when that fifth goal went in. I mean, it was a late second period goal. I thought, okay, whatever, it's done. And the Stars tried to come back, and if he had saved that one late in the second, then it's tied, and maybe you get a point out of that game, but stuff. It seems like when he goes down now, he's not able to crawl back into the headspace of just not letting in another.
Right. I'm using the same logic with my biggest loser, the way that I was doing it with Matt Dumba earlier in the season. Like, he was making all of these mistakes and it was really, really rough and bad. But he was not, you know, there was nothing to counteract his bad things that he was doing. Like, he wasn't putting the puck in the net. He wasn't making good defensive plays during the game. And now he is.
Yeah.
Now he's playing very, very well. This is the best he's played in a long time. And I know I keep bringing that up, everybody, but considering that, you know, our defense is as weak as it is compared to the rest of our team, that's huge for him to be playing well. And that's why I'm using that same logic with Ottinger, because he has not been where he's needed to be, where the Stars need him to be. And you know what? Let it be right now when he can be bad, because when it comes to April, he needs to be way better than this.
And I think you're right about Matt Dumba being better, especially tonight. There were multiple times when it's not him making like a great play, but he's in the right spot. And that's so big in this defensive structure, is being in the right spot at the right time. And he did it multiple times tonight where he's just in the right spot and it looks harmless. It looks like he didn't even do anything, but that's the biggest part of the Stars defense.
Okay, let's look at some of y'all's comments real quick and then we'll wrap it up. Natalie saying, I I am think Hintz. I think Hintz will be back in Sunday or Tuesday. I'm hoping it's against Colorado. It really feels like, especially after that loss here tonight, that they're really going to need him for Sunday. SDNGN13, we made it real easy. No one in front of the net ever.
Yep.
And especially against the best goalie in the league. Yep. You can't let him see the puck.
I mean, if you're shooting really good, you can. But they weren't doing that tonight.
Yeah. Let's see. Brandon over here saying, does anyone think they may have tried to push shooting on Rantanen? Because I feel like they passed up opportunities. So I think what he's getting at is there's other players that probably should have shot the puck, but they didn't because they were trying to get it to Rantanen.
Maybe on the power play tonight, you could feel that a bit, I feel like. But in general, I don't think that's true. I think the Stars just knew they were playing Hellebuck, and they're trying to find a better shot. And sometimes, instead of trying to find a better shot, you just need to get in front of that.
Yeah. Since Mira has been out, there's only been two games that the Stars have less than three goals go in. Yeah. And at least they avoided being shut out tonight. They haven't been shut out this year.
Why'd you say that?
Sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Okay, last one and we're done. Brandon also saying, we can beat the Avalanche. It will be so nerve-wracking, but we can get it done.
Get ready for a barn burner, man. I mean, the Avalanche had that like 7-goal night the other night. So it's just going to be stupid high scoring, I feel like.
Really?
If it's not high scoring, I'll be very surprised. I'm thinking like a 6-5 kind of game going on.
So you're making a prediction now?
6-5.
6-5?
I don't know who wins, but the score is 6-5.
No, say it now.
The Stars. Stars win 6-5.
Okay, Stars win 6-5, okay? And you know what? Just for that, I'll go opposite, right? I'll say it's going to be, I won't say 1-0, but 2-1.
2-1.
2-1. And yeah. Okay.
Because you can't have a shutout, you know.
Yep. Anything else, James?
Nope.
Okay.
Get me out of here. Done with this game.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for following along with us live. There's even more of you that are afterwards. Click like and subscribe on YouTube. Hit that notification bell. If you're listening on the audio side, leave us that 5-star review. We would really appreciate that. And as always, thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Promo code is THPN. And we'll be back with you guys again on Sunday
afternoon.
Early evening / afternoon. Sorry. Yeah. So we'll be back with you guys then. And alongside James, my name is Ryan. Catch you guys on the flip side. Hope y'all have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. And please, please, please beat the Avalanches. Bye, guys.